Try to imagine a $100 trillion engine. Okay? Because that's roughly how big the global economy is. It's roughly $100 trillion of output every year in the global economy. And this thing's been purring along, doing pretty well for a decade or so. You know, it hadn't had any problems at all. I mean, occasional oil change, occasional little hiccup here and there, made a little grease now and then, but it's doing just fine. It's doing just fine. And then one day you stop it. And I don't mean you ease on the brakes and kind of gradually bring it to a stop. I mean, you jump out, grab the keys, jump out, let it run into a tree. Just stop it cold. And then you go take a bunch of sledgehammers and get a bunch of folks over there and just beat on it for a while. Just knock it around really good. And then you act like you're going to start it. You crank it up a little bit, and you kind of get it chugging a little bit, and then you just jump out and hit another tree and do the same thing all over again. And then you get ready to start it up. That startup's not going to be particularly smooth when you do that. That's exactly what we did. We took this $100 trillion engine that it was purring along just fine, and we just shut her down. And then we just did everything you could do to mess it up for a while, you know. And then we act like we're going to start it up, and then the other variants came out, and we shut her down again. And then we tried to start it up. And what that means is we live in a very, very integrated world. I will make a bet, if anybody will call me on it, and I don't think you will. If you will, you lose. But I would make a bet that in this room, if you look at the computers like this thing in front of me, the electronic equipment, the carpets, our clothes we're wearing, the desk, the projection equipment, the walls, the floors, everything else, there are goods from more than 100 countries in this room right now. The reason I say I win that bet is it's probably 200, okay? But it's certainly 100. I feel very safe in saying that. I mean, we live in a very, very integrated world where everything is tied to everything else. And so when you start breaking that down, you know, it's not going to be smooth. They couldn't gear up all the production at once. They couldn't gear up all the transportation at once. There were backlogs and bottlenecks and things. People couldn't come back to work as smoothly as it would as you would under normal circumstances because of the pandemic. And we had a few other things come along that hurt us as well. And these are the kind of things that come up in economies. But if everything else is trucking along, you can deal with one or two of these. But when you're in this mess and you layer it on, it's rough. In the middle of this, we had a big fire in South Korea. Why do we care? It burned up one of the three big chip plants in the world. And we can't, and that's one of the reasons we can't get cars and we can't get washing machines and refrigerators and ice makers and everything else we try to get these days is because of that fire in South Korea. Again, we could have managed around that if everything else was chugging along fine. You may have heard Russia invaded the Ukraine, messed up the agricultural markets, messed up the energy markets, made it more difficult to get things done. China had another little spurt in the virus, and they basically shut down all their production. We get a lot of stuff from China, both consumer goods and inputs to everything else we make. And so when you do that, you should. We had a lot of problems getting our logistics system set back up and had some issues there. And we've had weather events that have interrupted these things some. So it's just been a massive pile-on of things that have made it difficult to get the supply chain going again. The good news I can give you about that is that all of these are the kind of problems that correct themselves over time in a market. Because in a market, once you create a problem, you at the same instant, you create an incentive to solve the problem. And we're seeing the ports run double and triple shifts now. We're seeing more people getting into the delivery and logistics side of the workforce. We're seeing a lot of things happening now to make it better. We have a ways to go. It's not back yet. But we are making progress in that regard. Let's talk about inflation for a minute, more than a minute, because it's a pretty complicated topic. And there's lots of dimensions to it. And I'm going to try to give you some sense about it. A man on the street definition of inflation, I'm sure you've heard at some point in your life, is too much money chasing too few goods. Not a bad definition, actually. It's a pretty good description of what happens. If you have too much money and not enough goods, you take the money and you bid up the price of the goods to see who can get them. And that's kind of what happens. Either half of that equation can cause inflation. We had both of them happen on steroids recently. And here's what happened. On the too few goods side, we've already talked about that, the supply chain issues. So we have too few goods right now. There's a lot of things we'd like to buy, we can't. Okay. Then we get to the too much money thing. The federal government spent about $7 trillion on stimulus aid during the pandemic. The Federal Reserve made another $4 trillion of liquidity available to the country during the pandemic. That's $11 trillion. Our GDP in a year is about $20 trillion, okay? So, I mean, we put a lot of cash out there, okay? Now, again, those of you who've heard me over the years know I've been critical of the federal government's deficit spending for a long time, okay? Both parties, it doesn't matter. A friend of mine, a politician, once told me the difference in Republicans and Democrats was that they'd both spend more than you gave them, but the Republicans would feel bad about it. In the last 15 years, they haven't felt bad about it. I mean, literally, when Republicans are in power, they pass great big tax cuts with nothing to offset it. When the Democrats are in power, they pass great big spending increases with nothing to offset it. And the result is we run $1 trillion deficits every year. We can fix that. We should fix that. I can't fault them too much for what they did in the pandemic. It wasn't perfect. I mean, you know, it's the government. I mean, they sent checks to dead people. We're seeing evidence all the time about fraud and that sort of thing. I mean, you know, it wasn't a perfect system. But if you stop and think about it realistically, when the pandemic hit, a number of small businesses would not have survived without some help. Very well-run, well-managed small businesses, family business. You take away all their revenue for 6 or 8 months, they can't survive. Many families who work by the hour, you know, honest folks out there working hard every day, you take them away from work for 6 or 9 months, they're not going to make it. So, we had to do this. I've described it to some folks as we had, and we knew it would create inflation in the future. We knew that when we did it.